Well, it's my pleasure to introduce to you our speaker this morning, Dr. Daryl Merrill, Jr. He's the lead pastor of Christian Life Church, a powerful church in Chicago, Illinois. Or I guess it's Mount Prospect, isn't it? Mount Prospect, Illinois. Of course, that all blends together for us. He's an instructor also at Christian Life College. Christian Life College is also on the campus of where the church is at. And if you all remember Pastor Harry Schmidt, he's the president of that college. So he's the president of the college, and Pastor Daryl is the pastor of the church that's there at that college. And he is, in fact, graduated from Christian Life College with a degree in Bachelor of Arts degree. And then he's a very educated man. Let me tell you some of his education. He went on to a postgraduate work at Cincinnati Bible Seminary, earned a Master's of Arts degree. Then he went on to earn another Master's degree in Religious Education. He's done Master's and Doctoral work at the University of Oxford in Oxford, England. And he graduated in May 2000 with a graduate in theological foundation with a doctorate of ministry degree. He's also a member of the fellowship. He serves as on the executive board. He's the vice president of our North Central region. So we connect a lot there, and so we enjoy that relationship as well. He has a beautiful wife, and he has three children. They're Luke, Matthew, and Mark. Now, I assume a fourth one is coming, right? And you shall call his name John. Is that right? Come on up here. Give him a hand here, Dr. Daryl Merrill, Jr. Mm-hmm. Now, I have one question for you.
Yes.
Yeah. Why did you name them Luke, Matthew, and Mark, and not Matthew, Mark, and Luke?
I don't have the prophetic gift. So I didn't know I was having three boys, or otherwise I would have done that. But, yeah. And my wife didn't know we were having three boys either, so that's why she said, please, no more boys in the house. So we've stopped with three, and so we've adopted a kid overseas. Because I called, you call the Compassion International hotline, and I say, I want to sponsor a child, but it has to be named John. And I can't tell you why. It just has to be John. So we have a John in Indonesia that's part of our family. So
anyway, yeah. Bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Phil. That's great. Yeah. Good stuff. Great to be here this morning, and I got to tell you, the first time I met Pastor Phil, 10 years ago, this guy shows up in a morning meeting at the conference, dressed full suit, could have been a three-piece suit, and I'm like, dude, it's the t-shirt and jeans session, what are you dressed up for? And he's pulling up his pants leg, showing us a scar and all this stuff, and I'm like, man, he's got issues, you know, this guy's got some, I want to tell you, that as he preached, I saw a man who loved Jesus with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I know this will sound weird, but I was immediately attracted to him. And I could tell that he loved people as he loved himself. And I said, that is a man of God. And I've just so enjoyed getting to know him over the years and your other pastors that have come and just been a part of my life. And so I just can't tell you, I'm a little overwhelmed as I stand here. Because this church has more of an influence than you would ever imagine in my life, in the life of our fellowship of churches. And so your reach goes far beyond Pullman, Washington. And your love for Jesus shines throughout the land. So thank you. Thank you for being a great church. Thank you to your great pastors. And I just I look forward to getting together with them anytime that I can. I want you to open to 1 Samuel chapter 9 as we begin this morning. I like books. I love books. I have an addiction to books, and I go to bookstores, and I don't just look at them. I buy them, and I don't just buy them. I read them. So it's not a soft addiction. It's a hard one. And and I love titles of books. Great books like Rick Warren wrote Purpose Driven Life. How could that not be a bestseller? Purpose Driven Life. What a name of a book, you know, and I think of other books that are out there. John Maxwell, the prolific writer on leadership, and his book, you know, The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. What a great title. That's a great title. Got a friend named Mark Batterson. He wrote In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. You read it? Isn't that the greatest book? And then he writes other books, the new one, Soul Print and Primal and Wild Goose Chase and all those. Great titles. This new one's about to come out, Prayer Circles. Great man of God. And so anyway, just love those titles. I looked a few years ago, and Max Lucado had that book, Fearless, and I'm like, that's a title of a book. And so I thought, if I'm going to write a book about my life, the life that I would want everyone to lead, what would be the name of the book that I would share with the world? And so I've come up with a book titled, Chasing Donkeys. Chasing Donkeys. Now, it's not as exciting as Purpose Driven Life, but it's the story of my life, Chasing Donkeys. And I want to tell you about that this morning, Chasing Donkeys. I was afraid to tell you the title because, and I didn't want to tell anybody early, because I know Pastor Phil does illustrated messages up here. I've watched online and I've seen kind of wild demonstrations up here, and I didn't want to tell anybody. I was talking about chasing donkeys because there might be a donkey on stage, and that would scare me, and I don't want to see a donkey behind me. So story of 1 Samuel chapter 9 is the story of Saul before God chooses him as king of Israel. And I want to say this. A lot of times when we think of Saul, we think of a very tragic figure, but he's not. God gave him a new heart. He wanted him to be king. He called him, and he sets this whole thing up of chasing donkeys so that he could be called to be the king of Israel. The whole passage today is Saul out looking for his donkeys, and there's a message for each one of us inside of the story as God is orchestrating and calling the leader that all of Israel is hoping for behind the scenes. He's working and he's putting into place what needs to be put into place as Saul chases the donkeys. And Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, we read that there's a man named Kish, a prominent man from the tribe of Benjamin, and he has a son named Saul. Saul is a tall man. He's a good-looking man. If the Bible says you're good-looking, because the Bible can't lie. So we have this tall, good-looking guy, kind of like Pastor Phil, a tall, good-looking guy that is there. And so we have the story set up. He looked like a king. He looked like a leader. And we'll pick it up in verse 3 if you have your Bibles open. And I know we have college students, so open your Bibles and your iPhones to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Reading out of the New Living Translation today. One day, Kish's donkey strayed away, and he told Saul, take a servant with you and go look for the donkeys. This is the beginning of our story today. It's the father asking his son, go look for donkeys. And so they pass through a variety of different places. And if you look on a Bible map just below Judea, just below Jerusalem, we have this thin strip of land that belongs to the tribe of Benjamin. And he goes throughout that area about 30 miles, tracking these donkeys, trying to find them in these hills and wilderness. And he goes place after place and he can't find them. He's on this wild donkey chase and he can't find the donkeys anywhere. And the next text tells us that Saul just wants to give up. He's just done. Verse 5 says, finally, they entered the region of Zuph. And Saul said to his servant, let's go home. Now my father will be more worried about us than about the donkeys. Have you ever got to the town of Zuph? Where you just say, enough is enough. Zuph is a Zuph. You know, just, I don't know, maybe that's in Hebrew. I don't know. But enough is enough. I am tired. I am frustrated. I am out of energy. I am out of supplies. I don't have anything left to give. I am disappointed. And Saul says, you know what? I'm done. I'm done. We're going to go home. It's all over. The donkey chase is over. And we see a servant in the next verse encouraging him. In verse 6, it says, but the servant said, I just thought of something. There's a man of God who lives here in town. He's held in high honor by all the people because everything he says comes true. Let's go find him. Perhaps he can tell us which way to go. But we don't have anything to offer him, Saul replied. Even our food is gone, and we don't have anything to give him. Well, the servant said, I have one small piece of silver. We can at least offer it to the man of God and see what happens. In those days, if people wanted a message from God, they would say, let's go ask the seer. And prophets used to be called seers. And all right, Saul agreed, let's try it. So they started into town to see where the man of God lived. This is an important part of the story. The servant says, let's keep going. I want to thank God this morning for people in our lives that tell us to keep going. Amen. No matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, when we're disappointed, when we're discouraged, we say, you know, enough's enough. I'm not going to keep going. God will put somebody in your life that says, keep going. You are not, listen to me today, this is so important. God saves you, but you are not meant to be a Christian all by yourself. You need the brothers and sisters in Christ in your life to encourage you, to pray for you, to hold you accountable, to build you up, to make you strong. You need someone to say, keep going a little bit farther. I know it's difficult, but don't give up. It might be taking longer than you thought, but keep going. Good friends encourage us to connect with God. Good friends say, listen to God's voice. Go to the prophet. Hear what God is saying. And he says, I'll give you what I got. I got a couple bucks, about a tenth of an ounce of silver. I got a couple bucks, and we'll just offer it to the man of God. And gifts were important in that day. And so we'll see what's happened. Let's just try. Let's just see what happens. We need people in our life. I want to tell you, David needed people in his life. David had a heart after God, but he messed up over and over and over again, didn't he? And after adultery and after murder, he was acting like everything was okay. And then a friend came along, Nathan. David, it's not all okay. David was probably thinking, oh, this is the king's prerogative. I can do whatever I want. And it took somebody to come in his life and say, David, no, you can't. And he got his heart right with God. I want to tell you today, you need friends in your life. You need people in your life, not only to encourage you, but to keep you on track. When you think, oh, I can do this, I can do that and get away with it. No, you can't. And you need the people of God sharing with you. And so he has his friend encouraging, let's go, let's see what happens. And so we pick it up in verse 11. As they were climbing to the hill, or climbing the hill to the town, they met some young women coming out to draw water. So Saul and his servant asked, is a seer here today? Yes, they replied. Stay right on this road. He is at the town gates. He has just arrived to take part in a public sacrifice up at the place of worship. Hurry and catch him before he goes up to eat. The guests won't begin eating until he arrives to bless the food. And this is where the story starts to get interesting in verse 15. It says, now the Lord told Samuel the previous day, about this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him to be the leader of my people, Israel. He will rescue them from the Philistines, for I have looked down on my people in mercy and have heard their cry. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said, this is the man I told you about. He will rule my people. God had been setting this whole thing up right when the donkeys took off. From the beginning of this whole story, God is setting it up. And he reveals his plan to the prophet. And the king of Israel just walked into town, but nobody knows the king is there except the prophet. And here's God working behind the scenes. And Saul says, tell me where my donkeys are. And Samuel says, no, I want you to come worship with me and have dinner with me and spend the evening in my home. And then I'll tell you what you asked about in the morning. And I just think about Saul's mind, because he agrees to do all this, but he's probably like, all this for donkeys? You know, you can't just tell me where the donkeys are? I mean, you're the prophet. You can't. And Samuel has to say, Saul, it's not about the donkeys anymore. It's not about the donkeys. God is up to something much bigger. Verse 20. Don't worry about those donkeys, Samuel says. They were lost 3 days ago, for they have been found. And I'm here to tell you that you and your family are the focus of all Israel's hope. Saul replied, but I'm only from the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest tribe in Israel. And my family is the least important of all the families in the tribe. Why are you talking to me like this? Verse 22. Then Samuel brought Saul and his servant to the hall and placed them at the head of the table, honor them above the 30 special guests. Samuel has been instructed the cook to bring Saul the finest cut of meat, the piece that had been set aside for the guest of honor. So the cook brought in the meat and placed it before Saul. Go ahead and eat it, Samuel said. I was saving it for you even before I invited the others. So Saul ate with Samuel that day. Here's Saul sitting at the place of honor. He is now the guest of honor. He's brought the meal of honor, which was reserved for the man of God, whether it be a prophet or a priest. And now it sits in front of him. And Saul is probably like, okay, where's the camera? Okay, is this candid? What is going on? But deep down in his heart, he's probably going, why is this happening? Why me? I'm not that important. I don't really matter. And he's probably in the state of like, what is going on? Saul spends the night in Samuel's home and then begins to head out the next day. And it says in verse 27, when they reached the edge of town, Samuel told Saul to send his servant on ahead. After the servant was gone, Samuel said, "Stay here, for I have received a special message for you from God." Your translation may say that I am about to proclaim the word of the Lord to you. Finally, Samuel is going to tell Saul what is going on. And in the next chapter, chapter 10, he anoints Saul king of Israel and tells him what's coming next in his life and all the things that are going to happen and all the prophetic things that are about to take place. And then Saul's like, well, what do I do after that? And I love verse 7 of chapter 10. After these signs take place, do what must be done, for God is with you. Hallelujah. Here it is. Finally, the explanation comes. It's not about donkeys, Saul. Something much bigger is happening, and the light bulb goes on for Saul, and he realizes that God has put something together, and he says, now I understand. Now I get it. And sometimes we feel like Saul. Why, God? I don't understand. I feel like I'm chasing donkeys in life. Why am I going through what I'm going through? And it's not until we have that light bulb moment with God. We take a moment to look backwards and we see where God has brought us. And we realize, that's why. Now I understand. And now I get it. The whole time Saul is chasing the donkeys, and this is probably the most important part of what I'm talking about today. The whole time he's chasing the donkeys, he doesn't know why, and he doesn't know what's going on. You know all that he's doing? He's just being obedient to his father. He's just doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's just in the middle of what he was supposed to be doing, and God ends up placing him in the right place at the right time for the right moment of his life, and all he was doing was being obedient. You may feel like you're chasing donkeys, but the call today is to obedience. This is the message for us. Whatever you do when you wake up in the morning, whether it's school, whether it's work, whether it's being a dad or a mom or a husband or a wife, whatever you do, it may sometimes feel mundane and pointless and difficult. You may have been doing it a long time. You may come to church and do the same ministry you've done for years. You may go to the same small group or the same Bible study over and over and over again. You may go to that job and go and you may take care of those kids. You may do all these things over and over again. And you know what's happening? When you are obedient to what God has placed in front of you, you are going to be in the right place at the right time to be a minister for him. We can't always see what happens. It may feel like you're lost. It may feel like you're discouraged. It may feel like you're chasing donkeys. But then someday you're going to look back and you're going to say, that's why I was chasing the donkeys. Now I understand. Now I get it. And God is at work in our life as he was in Saul, giving people that will encourage us like a servant. Those young women that pointed the way to the prophet. God is arranging things behind the scenes for your life that I want to tell you, you may not even understand right now, but he's doing it. It says in Proverbs 16:9, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. If you do a study on the word steps in the Bible, I want to tell you that God is a part of ordering the righteous steps. And I want to tell you to just be, I don't know, in tune with him. Because every day of our life is like pouring a sidewalk square in cement. And so you have the day that God has given you. You say, this is the day the Lord has made. And you go out and you pour that square, and over time it dries. By the end of the day, it's dry. So the next day you get up and you pour that next square. And you wonder, where is this going? What is taking place? And it's not until you stop and you look back. You say, wow, God, this is where you brought me. And you know what? We're going to make mistakes along the way. All of us have sinned. All of us have done our own thing. We've all poured the squares where they shouldn't go, and we've all gone in the wrong direction. But you know what? I checked this morning, and Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible. Amen. All things work together for good. Amen. He's called you. He loves you. And I want to tell you, there's something powerful about looking back at your life. I was wondering, I was kind of asking God, why I couldn't stop thinking about this when I was thinking about our time together today. And the Lord brought something to my memory as I was sitting down there. And so I'm a little emotional. I remember being in high school. And I was scared. I was invisible. I remember my counselor bringing me in to his office and saying, "What are you going to do with your life, Daryl?" And I didn't know. And I remember walking out and just feeling invisible, just crying in the hall of the high school. And just walking down and just trying not to make sure nobody saw me. And you know when you read in the Bible that not many mighty, not many noble are called? You know that? They probably saw me walking down the hall of my high school and said, "There's one. He's not very mighty. He's not very noble." A couple weeks ago, I took my son. We moved into the same area where I grew up, and I took my son to high school orientation. I sat with him in that same auditorium that I went to. And I walked those same halls that I walked. And I didn't want my son to see, but I started to cry again. I'm a crier, sorry. But I started get a little emotional. I started crying again. But this time not because I was lost. Because I said, "God, you have been so good to me. You took a lost little boy that didn't know what he could do in life. I didn't think he had anything to offer. And I look at where I've gotten to go and preach and teach. And I look at the family God's given me and the church and the life. And I just say, thank you, God. I had no idea. I had no idea, God, that you were up to something so big with somebody so insignificant." And you know what it is? It's just chasing the donkeys. Every day. When you don't know what to do, take the next step. One foot in front of another. Chase the donkeys. Keep going. Don't give up. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." You can't go wrong following Jesus. He'll take you in the right way. Just pray, "God, direct my path." Follow him. Walk in obedience. When we look back on our life, we'll say, "Wow, God, now I get it. Now I understand." And what's so cool about a church like this and our fellowship over the years, even though this is the first time I get to meet you, is that our sidewalks have crossed paths now. And you guys get to cross each other's paths all the time. And I think of how this church is blessed. I mean, there's no telling until we get to heaven how many students and people, you know, that have gone out from this place. And when you begin to think about all that and how our lives interact, it's like, thank you, God. Thank you. It feels like I'm chasing donkeys here. It just seems like another year, another way, you know, just another time. But when we're faithful, we'll look back and say, now I get it. Now I get it. When you walk with God, you're in the best place at the best time. You say, "I'm just going to work, just raising kids. I'm just following God. I'm just giving. I'm wondering what my real purpose in life is." I want to tell you, every day you chase the donkeys is a miracle day. Because God's at work in your life. And you're touching lives that you don't know, or you're getting to the place where you need to go. And you know, we talk about the economy, we talk about all these things, and oh, it's changing this and it's changing that. You know what? You may feel like you're chasing donkeys, but God's setting some things up. There's some things we do in a bad economy that we would never do if things were good. But God needs us somewhere else, doing something else, changing in our life. And I want to tell you today that God is at work in our lives and we're being prepared for something even greater as we chase the donkeys. Keep going. Never give up. Because by chasing the donkeys, Saul became king. And by chasing the donkeys in your life, you'll become the man or woman of God that you are called to be. Would you bow your heads and your hearts with me today? I'm not quite done yet. I just want to talk to you. I just want to pray with you. I just want to spend some moments with you, and then I'm going to ask the Pastor Phil just to come up and conclude any ways that he wants to. But I want to tell you today that the great thing about our God is that we have it in His words. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And I want to tell you, wherever you're at today, whatever, it doesn't matter if you're a student or retired, anywhere in between, keep going. Keep chasing the donkeys. Keep getting up. Keep being obedient. Keep listening to the Father and obeying His instructions. Because when you do, you'll be in the right place at the right time. I want to give you a word from the Lord that comes from Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 5 tells us, "For God has said, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you." So we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear." Thank you, God. I believe that every day we follow God, that every Sunday we gather together with other believers is a miracle day. And I believe that today is that day. And I want you to have a moment with God. I want you to wait on the Lord. It's important to have faith and believe. There's so many stories in the Gospels where it said Jesus immediately healed or He immediately delivered. And when you read the stories, you say, really, immediately? Because you look at different things and you know, with the Gentile woman, you know, Jesus just... He just kind of eggs her on and it takes a long time, but then Jesus suddenly heals her. And when we chase donkeys, you never know when your suddenly day will come. You may feel like God's not listening. You may feel like you don't understand and there's too many questions and not enough answers. And you maybe feel, when is this going to happen? But when it happens, it'll be suddenly. And you may not even know when it happens until you look back and say, oh, now I get it. Now I understand. I believe the Holy Spirit can speak to us this morning. So I'm going to allow God just to share with you as Pastor Phil comes and closes with prayer today.
As you take time to meditate, think about what you're chasing. You know, it's interesting, it didn't say that He was chasing rainbows or chasing money. You're chasing donkeys. Not the most prized possession, but it ended up, I mean, in chasing donkeys, I'm sure they went all over the place. But as they were chasing, God had something else in the chase that He gave Saul. The kingdom. He gave him the kingdom. I'm telling you that as we chase and do what God's called us to do, He gives us His kingdom. He gives us His kingdom. Heaven on earth. The kingdom of God, both now and forevermore. Powerful things show up when we just do what we're supposed to do. Doesn't seem glamorous, doesn't seem wonderful, but Saul got the kingdom. The kingdom. that as you go about doing what you're doing, God is adding bricks, slabs to the kingdom in your life. One square at a time, one square at a time, one square at a time. God, what does this mean? Is it really going anywhere? The kingdom is taking shape in your life. The kingdom of God is taking place and shape in your life. Each and every day you lay a slab in it. The kingdom. The kingdom. The kingdom of God. Father, we thank you that you're such a great God. You're an awesome God. And you do amazing things. Help us, Lord, to keep on keeping on, to add blocks to that kingdom that you have for us, even though we don't see it. But in the end, great things. Just a slab away, great things. From chasing that donkey, they were just a step away from the kingdom. Oh, God. Oh, God. We're going to keep on keeping on. We're going to keep on moving because, Lord, you have something great down the line. Keep on doing what you've asked us to do, to remain faithful, to be a good husband, to be a good mother, to be a good student, to be a good employee. Lord, to keep on keeping on because, Lord, you are building things in our lives that add up to the kingdom and the characteristics of the kingdom that you want to give to us. Inspire us, implant in us, and virtues and values as we're laying those slabs, as we're laying them all down and pursuing you, Lord. You put value into our life. And you build a kingdom that we get to be a part of, Lord. Oh, what a good God you are.